Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cipla Limited Q1 and FY27 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Aashin Gupta, MD and Global CEO, Mr. Ashish Adukia, Global CFO, Ms. Diksha Maheshwari, Head Investor Relations. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Diksha Maheshwari, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Danish. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to Cipla's Q1 FY27 earnings call. I'm Diksha Maheshwari from the Investor Relations team at Cipla. Let me draw your attention to the fact that on this call, our discussion will include certain forward-looking statements, which are predictions, projections, or other estimates about future events. These estimates reflect management's current expectations of the future performance of the company. Please note that these estimates involve several risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied. Cipla does not undertake any obligation to publicly update any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new confirmations, future events, or otherwise. I hope you have received the investor presentation that we have posted on our website. I would like to request Aashin to take over.
Thank you, Diksha. Good afternoon to all of you, and we appreciate you joining for our Q1 FY27 earnings call. I'm delighted to share that we have delivered the highest ever Q1 revenue, with revenues of 7,100 crore in this Q1. Achieving a record first quarter provides a strong start to the year. It reinforces the resilience of our business fundamentals, the diversified nature of our business, and it strengthens our confidence in sustaining long-term growth. Coming to the business-wise performance, our One India business achieved its highest ever quarterly revenue with 12% YOY growth, reflecting a strong performance across key therapies and underscoring the strength of our franchise in the IPM. Within this, the branded prescription business continued to witness strong momentum across chronic portfolio, delivering a market-beating growth of 15.4% during the quarter, as per IQVIA data. Key therapies registered strong double-digit growth. Respiratory grew at 15%, anti-diabetes 43%, cardiac 20%, and urology at double digit, as per the IQVIA data for the quarter ended June 26. This performance was driven by a strong volume expansion, sustained brand strength, focused field execution, and continued momentum from new product launches. Our overall chronic mix strengthened this quarter to 60.4% YOY. We added two new brands to the 100 plus crore INR club, taking our total to 33. And our presence in the IPM top 300 brands remains strong with 23 brands, reinforcing the depth and resilience of our portfolio. Porocort, which is our flagship inhalation brand, continued to strengthen its leadership position as the number one respiratory brand in the IPM, while sustaining its status as a INR 1000 crore plus franchise. Cipla continues to be the largest pharma company in terms of volume and the only player with 2 billion plus unit sales in IPM as per IQVIA MAT June 26. Our new launch momentum also remains strong with a number of targeted introductions across key chronic, specialty and wellness segments. In respiratory, we strengthen our portfolio with Dual and Synchrobreathe, a breath-actuated inhalation platform designed to enhance ease of use and adherence, and Bilafab M for the management of allergic rhinitis and associated symptoms. In the obesity segment, following our entry into the segment through our collaboration with Eli Lilly for Yorpeak in the previous quarter, the brand has continued to witness encouraging traction and delivered a strong performance during the quarter. In immunology, we launched Upadacit, significantly strengthening our presence in chronic inflammatory and autoimmune disorders and enhancing our ability to address patient needs in a rapidly evolving specialty segment. Additionally, Biofilm, which is our nasal hygiene range broadened our supportive care and wellness portfolio. Collectively, these launches reinforce our commitment to addressing evolving patient needs and deepen our presence in high opportunity chronic therapy areas and further strengthen the breadth and competitiveness of our portfolio. On the trade generic side, our business delivered a healthy growth during the quarter on the back of vigorous execution in distribution and new product launches. Expanding our portfolio remains a key growth driver with three new launches this quarter addressing specific patient needs. Our consumer health business continued its upward trajectory with Nicotex, Omnigel and Cipladine consolidating their respective number one positions in the segment. The business is driving healthy secondary growth and actively exploring opportunities to invest in products and channels to further expand our distribution. Operating profitability improved during the quarter, reflecting the strength and scalability of the consumer health strategy. In North America, we delivered quarterly revenue of $162 million. Cipla continues to hold the number one position in the overall U.S. albuterol MDI market this quarter, with our market share standing at 21% as per IQVIA data for the week ending June 26, 2026. One key highlight for the quarter was the successful launch of generic Ventolin in the U.S. Following regulatory approval, which was received last quarter, we have commenced commercial shipments with volumes expected to increase as the supply scales up. During the quarter, we further strengthened our portfolio with the launch of Nintedanib and Dapagliflozin, in addition to some of the more recent launches like Liraglutide, which is expanding our presence in high growth therapy areas and advancing the execution on our pipeline. Looking ahead, we expect North America business to continue its sequential growth trajectory during the year, supported by the upcoming product launches and continued commercial execution. More details on the U.S. pipeline. As we mentioned earlier, our pipeline for the remainder of the year includes four significant launches comprising three respiratory assets, including generic Advair, and a key peptide opportunity as well. Two of these three respiratory assets have been filed from our U.S. manufacturing facilities, while the third has been filed from our Goa facility. These launches are expected to strengthen our portfolio, enhance our respiratory leadership, and also help us support a sustainable long-term growth in the North America business. Coming to South Africa, in the private market, we achieved strong secondary growth of 6.5%, outperforming the overall market growth of 5.7% as per IQVIA MAT-based statistics. The business continued to strengthen its position through solid performance in key therapies and successful new launches, reinforcing our presence across diverse markets. In EMEU, we continued the growth trajectory with a 5% YOY growth in USD terms. This was fueled by execution across both DTM and B2B segments, and our continued focus on deep market penetration has laid a strong foundation for sustained growth. Notably, we maintained margin stability while effectively leveraging internal pipeline assets, demonstrating the strength and agility of our operating model. Finally, on the regulatory front, during the quarter, US FDA completed a routine GMP inspection and a PAI at our Verna Goa facility, and subsequently it was classified as VAI. And during this month, the US FDA concluded a routine GMP inspection at Invagen facility in New York, which concluded with one Form 483 observation, which we are committed to addressing within the stipulated timeline. We are also expecting the re-inspection of our indoor facility to take place anytime soon. Now I would like to invite Ashish to present the financial and operational performance.
Thank you, Achin. So I would like to now present the key financial highlights for the quarter. We reported a quarterly revenue of 7,119 crore with a 2% growth YOY. There has been change in the presentation of the financials, which I would like to highlight. Effective this quarter, beginning 1st April 2026, the company presents certain marketing and promotional expenditures as a reduction from the revenue instead of operating expenditure. The same has been highlighted in the note to the consolidated financial statement. You may refer to note number 9. The EBITDA margin, excluding the other income, stood at 16.7% for the quarter. As per practice, the EBITDA margin does not include the other income. The reported gross margin after material cost stood at 62.5%. It's incorporating the impact of the product mix, certain wall-related costs, some inventory-related charges, and phasing of certain incentives. The total expense for the quarter stood at 3,260 crore, reflecting an 8.3% increase over the previous quarter. This increase reflects our planned investment in upcoming product launches and enhancement of manufacturing readiness. We remain focused on innovation and future readiness. R&D investments for the quarter were 486 crore or 6.8% of revenue, directed largely towards the product filing and key development programs. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 789 crore, representing 11% of sales, and ETR for the quarter stood at 27%. Our free cash flow generation and operating efficiency continue to drive the healthy net cash position. As of 30th June 2026, the debt on our balance sheet, including lease liabilities, stood at 600 crore, with net cash equivalent balance at 9,494 crore, and this was after the dividend payment that we made this quarter of 1,050 crore. Looking ahead, our key priorities will include, for One India, the aim is to focus on execution to sustain the growth momentum and outperform the market in branded generic, trade generic, as well as consumer wellness. We will further strengthen our presence in chronic therapies while maintaining the robust trajectory we have built in respiratory. In North America, we'll remain focused on driving growth through new product introductions, including the key launches highlighted by Arjun. In South Africa, our focus will be on continuing to grow faster than the market in the private sector. In EMEU, the top priority is to drive top-line growth while maintaining a strong margin trajectory. Lastly, before I hand over to the Q&A, as I transition into new role, I would like to thank all of you for asking perspective questions over the last 4 years. I would also like to welcome Dinesh Jain as a new global CFO. He's been with the company for almost 30 years plus, and he's sitting right next to me to take any questions or anything. So over to the moderator now for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Saion Mukherjee with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Can you talk about the accounting change that you mentioned? How has that impacted your growth rates? If you can quantify for the branded markets, particularly India and South Africa?
Sure. So see, I think if you go through the note, Shyam, you'll find the numbers mentioned out there for the previous YOY quarter as well. So you'll be able to, calculate the growth, and the growth would be somewhere around 4% if you just adjust for the previous year number as well.
Yeah, that's right, Ashish. I mean, so you reported 2%, adjusted is 4%. I would assume the change would have impacted mostly the branded market. So I just wanted to understand, like, 12% growth in India and minus 5% that you reported in rupee terms in South Africa. You know, is there an adjusted number for these two markets at least?
Sure. So without breaking it down into the markets, there are primarily two only, but largely it's on account of adjustment in South Africa.
Okay. So in India, the business has delivered 12% growth. In this quarter, you had Tirzepatide plus the Pfizer brand distribution and one small acquisition. So excluding these, do you think, can you just tell what the growth rate is overall in India?
On India, you see the IQVIA data, we were at 15.4% on the RX part of it. And within that, as per IQVIA, approximately 80 CR was from Jobbik, right? So the balance is, so I think that's what, approximately 1.5% is attributable there. The rest is on account of the business. Some of it was licensed products, but good, healthy growth rate on all the rest of the base portfolio as well. We've been now seeing for 3 quarters, so there's a momentum that's building up in terms of steadily delivering double-digit growth.
Okay, because based on the disclosures, that you made, I'm arriving at somewhere in that range of 7 to 8% year-on-year growth. Is that a wrong assessment, you think?
We've not broken down each of the three verticals, but I think IQVIA will give you a very, more or less a detailed perspective. Also, some of the ILD becomes based, over a period of time, right? So,
okay.
That's part of our strategy. We keep the ILD within a certain percentage. It's not very high, but it's between 10 to 15% of our total business.
Okay. Mike, this other question is on South Africa. So, because the currency has also been quite favorable, it's almost 23% on a year-on-year basis. Even if I were to sort of ascribe all that accounting change to South Africa, I just get 13% growth. So in constant currency, it seems your, private market as well as tender has declined on a year-on-year basis. Is there something happening there, if you can throw some light that we need to be aware of?
No, so see, I think tender business has indeed declined for us. So that is one of the impacts that is there. And on the private market, there has been a growth, and there is, of course, currency impact as well, which we had hedged. So I think it's a multitude of impacts that is sitting out there in South Africa. But private market has grown faster than the market out there. As I had highlighted in the speech as well, that we achieved almost 6.5% growth in the market, in the secondaries, outpacing the market growth of 5.7%.
Yeah, that's true. I think in the secondary it's visible, but on the reported number it isn't. So that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, the tender component is lesser, that is why.
Okay. Thank you, and enjoy that. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Parth Soda with Trinidad Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Parth, you may please proceed. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is breaking. Parth, you may please rejoin the queue, but your voice is breaking, so you can rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Patra with Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Sorry,
Surya, you may please proceed ahead with the question. Surya has left the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Damayanti Kerai with HSBC Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So just want to hear some update on the awaited launch for the US market. So you mentioned we are going to have three more assets on the respiratory side, including Advair and one peptide asset. If I remember correctly, last call when we had discussion on the upcoming launches, you mentioned you were anticipating four peptide products. So has there been any change on that part? And I think if that's the case, do you still maintain your 1 billion exit run rate for US segment for FY27?
So we are seeing three respiratory launches which are significant in addition to the Ventolin approval that we've got, and one peptide which is large. Right? There are others which we've already launched, like liraglutide. We've launched both the variants. That's doing well for us. So there are other peptides and other products which are in the approval too, but we've been highlighting the three respi and the one peptide which are more significant. So yeah, and that is, the approval of these will give us a line of sight towards that billion exit rate.
Okay, so you started the year with 162 million sales, but in the consequent quarter, you think you can cover up enough to reach that 1 billion exit rate? That remains unchanged.
Yeah, I think the way to look at it is growth from new products, because the base, is not large enough to provide that kind of delta. But the new products are pretty large. So, basis the successful approval and launch of these, and the scale-up of Ventolin in the coming quarters, we will be able to get that visibility.
Sure. And similarly, if you can comment on your earlier guidance for the EBITDA margins of 18.5% to 20% for FY27, any change there or if it again remains broadly unchanged?
Yeah, so broadly unchanged.
Okay, and my last question is, the recent inspection of the New York facility, will that be anyway tied to any of the upcoming launches for the US? So you just got one observation, but nonetheless, if there is some delay in clearing that observation, will that hold up any of the upcoming launches?
The only the smaller ones. That that unit does solid orals, those are not the biggest launches, not part of the three rest that we spoke about. Those have already been inspected.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vishal Manchanda with Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. On your gross margins, you highlighted certain inventory write-offs in your opening comments. So can you talk about that? How much was that? And also quantify the impact of the inflation on the gross margins?
Sure. So I think when you meant inflation, you mean to say this whole war impact that we're talking about. So I think overall, if you look at it as per current estimate, and it's very difficult to give a very firm guidance out there because the things are evolving. But if you could assume about 1% to 2% of revenue in that kind of a range for the overall cost impact due to war. In case of, the other question that you had, the inventory charge, etc. So we have that, for various reasons, either it is close to expiry or if we have ordered, but the demand has not taken off, or if there is any quality issues, so then we charge off that inventory, which is very typical in pharma. So there has been a little higher than our normalized that we budget for, and that is why I called it out that there is a one-time kind of an inventory charge that is there.
So would this be 100 basis point, a lower number?
Quantifying this, so this all sits as part of COGS and amongst other provisionings that we take. I think that I called it out because it is slightly higher than with the normal write-off that we take.
Okay. And on the incentives, do you kind of put that as part of operating revenue or you deduct it from the COGS?
Yes. So the PLI and our export incentive, that other operating income, export area incentive, the area incentive, sorry, Dinesh just corrected me there. So that area incentive is now over, so it was sitting in the base and not now. And PLI, this year we are accruing it as we achieve the sales of our PLI molecules. So that's why in this quarter there is almost no PLI, but it will come in a phased manner into the later quarters.
Got it. All right. And just one on the US, Ventolin, when do we expect a full ramp up there?
Yeah, so that work is ongoing. We've started supplying at the current scale, but I think that will go towards the end of the financial year.
Will there be a gradual ramp up or we'll kind of be steady for some time and then...
It's a mix because, one would start manufacturing at higher scale, but then sell it, when all the approvals are in place.
Okay, so more towards the end of this year, we'll see a ramp up. Is that?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Binu Pathi Parampil with Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon all. Just a couple of follow-up questions. On first one, South Africa. I assume you replied to a question that the decline in revenue is because of loss of tender. Just wanted to know, is this the first part of loss of tender? So for the next three quarters till this annualized, should we assume that there will be a dip in reported revenue because of this?
No, I think a tender, how you have to see it is that when we look at tenders, so it needs to be accretive to our margins, then accordingly we bid for these tenders. So unfortunately, last year we lost a tender which has a supply plan that is impacting this year. So in the coming quarters also, there will be that continuation of that impact that will come through. You will see continuing impact of tender in South Africa, but private market, like I said, including OTC, is growing faster than the market. Due to a lot of currency fluctuation, some of it is not getting reflected, but it's a smart growth out there in South Africa, private market.
Got it. Just one follow-up on the US as well. So this quarter you have reported about $160 million. Your exit target of $1 billion is means $250 million a quarter or roughly $90 million more per quarter. So if I analyze it, you have to have products which can give you $360 million a year. The current products which you have mentioned, are you confident they can annualize to $360 million, which is much more than you made in even Revlimid?
Yes, these are all very sizable opportunities. So I think that's how we are looking at the build-up. This assumes the competitive position that exists today. So obviously, that is one assumption. From what we see today, we see large opportunity on this. I think we don't expect that competitive position to change in the next 9 months.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shashank Krishnakumar with Emkay Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first one was on the consumer wellness growth in India. I think you mentioned that the accounting treatment adjustment impact was largely in South Africa. But consumer wellness, last year, 1Q, we were at 470 crore, and this year, I think we are at around 480 crore. So growth there has also been a bit muted. So are there any other factors which have impacted growth in this quarter?
I think the last quarter had a very good growth in the consumer business. So I think the base itself was fairly strong. And that's why in a YOY basis, you see a growth which is not as high as typically what you would see in CHL, in consumer business.
I think there are two components to this, how we present the consumer. One is the consumer internationally, which is mostly in South Africa. And the piece that Ashish explained is the consumer in India. So on the, on the South Africa, also there may be an impact of that presentation.
So in South Africa, there is impact of the presentation change that I talked about earlier. Adjusting for that, South Africa had their normal good growth in OTC.
Got it, sir. And secondly, can you just call out the growth in the trade generic business in India this quarter? Was it in double digits?
No, so we don't give the breakup of the three segments. Overall, India is at a 12% growth and trade generic is also fairly healthy.
And if I could just squeeze in one more, I think our Invagen Unit 1 facility was inspected in Feb, and I think we had two observations. This was linked to Advair. So have there been any follow-up queries post that inspection, or is your filing broadly there in terms of getting past the finish line?
So it is on track. On that kind of inspection, ultimately you will see the approval, right? So interim, there is not much to read into it. We are expecting approval to come on that, which should happen, anytime.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Patra with Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for
that. Surya, I'm sorry, but again, your voice is breaking. If you are wearing Bluetooth or headset, can you just remove that?
Is it talking now?
No, sir. I guess you're not in network, so we are not able to hear you.
Okay, I'll come back
there. Sure. Our next question comes from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just first one on the year peak, you called out about 80 crores in quarter one. Sir, how are we looking at that overall anti-obesity kind of a market? There are confusing or divergent signals, especially from semi-generics as well. So what explains the strength and how are you looking at like prescription behavior and what do you think is the prognosis from here on?
our bet has been fairly clear. We wanted to work with innovator product which has dual mode of action, two receptors. So we've invested behind tirzepatide. Our understanding is that this is a high involvement therapy. It's not just a straightforward cell. Patient, prescriber need to have a lot of connect, guidance, and the condition needs to be managed properly for the right outcomes. Right. So we are following that. Plus, we're expanding the distribution reach. And there's a lot of work that is happening to get the right benefits for the patients, right? So, and that is helping us grow. So, we have reached number two in the whole category. So, after Mounjaro and IQVIA, Yorpeak is the second largest brand. Generics is a different piece because, this is not only a price-driven market, right? Ultimately, for that matter, for any therapy, the patient cares more about outcomes. So there is crowding also in that market. There may have been other issues. But for us, we see these different segments coexist and we see good opportunity for us to keep growing as more patients, get into the fold and also the comfort builds up in terms of prescriber and their ability to see which patients are eligible and how do they manage their condition. So we are seeing a progressive growth despite all generics, and we are expecting that to continue on the same growth trend.
So just data point, how was Q4 for the 80 crore? Any direction there?
It has been growing month on month, so it was quite small. Okay. On IQVIA reflections in Q4 of last year. How much was it? It has been growing.
Got it. So second question is on your cash pile, right? Close to more than $1 billion equivalent, right? So what are the ways that we are looking to kind of utilize this cash? You've already paid a dividend, maybe more is coming, but just want to understand what are some of the capital allocation priorities for that cash pile?
See, I think from what we had mentioned earlier in the last quarter, it remains the same where, we've increased our CapEx, which is going towards organic growth. We are focusing a lot on R&D, biosimilar, on organic side. We are looking at some very differentiated portfolio, either to acquire or to in-license as well. In-license also requires sometimes upfront to be paid. So there is some capital allocation going towards that. We continue to look at M&A opportunities, both for US for certain differentiated products, but also Europe to develop some of the deep markets. So, we've been fairly conservative on our approach on these acquisitions, and therefore you've not seen many, but I think we're constantly deploying capital towards small capital towards many such initiatives that I talked about. This will continue, and if we find any larger opportunity, of course we will come back to you.
Got it. Just in last housekeeping again, back on the US $1 billion guidance exit, right? Should I be looking at it 250 per quarter or should I be looking at 80 per month? Which would be more the right one to aim for?
I think, it depends on the timing of new launches, like Achin said. That's how we should look at the guidance. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vivek Agrawal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. This is one question on gross margin. You mentioned that this quarter have been impacted by some higher than expected or normal inventory write-offs. Just want to understand how to look at gross margin trajectory in coming quarters, and if you can also help us understand what can be the right number or approximate number to work with for FY27 as far as gross margins are concerned. Thank you.
See, this is not a significant impact as it's been seen at. I think the significant impact still remains as the product mix. Okay. So if the product mix remains same, then you can expect this margin to continue. We are anyways looking at always ways and means to improve the margin. It was just more of an explanation around the movement in the margin. And as we go towards quarter three, like typical, our recipe mix will increase, and that will help us with the margin even getting better from here.
Yeah, and just to add to that, also what we mentioned was that these new products that you're talking about come with healthy margins, right? So ultimately, what we are making up for in corresponding period last year, you know, they all had high margins, so it will get substituted as the new pipeline kicks in with good, healthy, high margins.
Yeah. And our EBITDA margin guidance is also predicated on the launches and the margin improvement.
Understood. One question is on Ventolin as well as one peptide product that you classify as a large product. So two questions related to these two products. One, what kind of the competition you see in these couple of products, let's say, if you are there in the market for next 1 year? And second, what kind of the fair market share you are capable of to achieve in these products, let's say, once the products are matured?
So on Ventolin, right now, we have the CGT. So we have exclusivity for 6 months. We're not aware of competition at this point in time. So we will capture all the generic share till the point that competition comes in. And after that also, we would not expect it to be highly crowded because of the complexity of this development itself. And similar case for the peptide as well. We have a very good chance of being the first and potentially being the only one.
And so in these products, is it fair to assume that you can, given that the kind of competitive intense dynamics that are there at play, you can get, let's say, around 40-50% kind of market share once the products are there for the 1 year?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, so again, just a question around market share. So in these two products, given that you may be for a time being the only player to be there in the market, so is it fair to assume that can you take around 40-50% kind of market share in these products? So maybe in the next 3-4 quarters once these products are there in the market?
If we don't see competition, then yes, we can get there. We could even be higher. Once there is competition, you would have some advantage of being the first. But then over time, it moves to more proportionate kind of or slightly above proportionate kind of market share. But yeah, I mean, if we are the only ones, there's 80 in one of them. But once the pure generic comes, right, we have the ability to get these market shares. We've done that in the past, to see albuterol in, with so many players, we are holding on to a higher than proportionate share as well.
Understood. And just one last question, if I can squeeze in. In respiratory, you talked about that the two filings are there from US, and there's a one out of three products you plan to launch, two are from US. So the one filing that you talk about, that is only filed from India or contingent on Indore clearance, is that right?
We mentioned that that filing is from Goa, so it's already audited and it's clear.
Okay, thank you. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Tushar Mazudane with Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just on this potential peptide product, the launch is subject to or contingent on any litigation or patent expiry or the product pure simple approval from the FDA.
Not really. This is a highly complex product, so the launch is mostly a function of overcoming all that complexity, not the other variables that you mentioned.
So patent expiry is not the constraint per se. This is already off patent product, is it?
Yeah, that's not the constraint. We can launch as soon as we get approved. We can launch as soon as we get approval.
Yeah, but it is off patent product.
Sorry, Tushar, you're not audible.
I meant to ask, is this off patent product? Is this an off patent product? Or is it something where you have won the litigation and hence approval is pending?
No, we said we can launch as soon as we get approval. So I think because we've not disclosed the name of the product, etc., we can't get into that exact detail. But we are awaiting approval, and as soon as we get approval, we are ready to launch.
Understood, sir. And so secondly, on the India side, like if you could just share the number of MRs and how do we intend to scale up over, let's say, next 1 to 2 years?
Point, we have approximately 12,000 people in the field force, and for this year particularly we're not looking at any significant manpower additions because we've added in the last 2 years, so we're looking at more productivity initiatives, and wherever required we will reorganize to work within the same manpower strength. Mm-hmm.
Got it. And so just lastly, in terms of IQVIA, are you also experiencing the same in the Cipla's acute portfolio?
We lost you for a bit. Can you repeat your question?
Sir, I meant to ask, the acute therapies have shown a very strong pickup over last 3 to 5 months. Is the same getting reflected in Cipla's acute portfolio as well?
Yeah, we are in line with the market. As we mentioned, on respiratory, we have a strong beat on the market and also in some of the chronic, but acute, we are more or less in line.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is with regards to your $1 billion revenue guidance. So if I look at your current run rate of, say, $162 million, what you have done for this quarter, what we are basically talking about is close to, say, an addition of $400 million at least to happen with the 4 new launches. So within that, how should we look at products like Advair, where there is some significant contribution? Do you still perceive this, this product to be a $100 million plus kind of an opportunity now?
That one has 3 or 4 competitors now, so that won't be $100 million. But we have across this portfolio and also Ventolin, also will ramp up. So we see this opportunity across these 5 products, right? So Ventolin, the 3-recipe and the 1-peptide. We also have a bunch of other smaller launches, so they will also contribute in a small way. They started doing that, right? So these are not the only products we're launching. So a little bit will come from the others as well, which will add to the steady base. But I think
lot of investments over the years have been made into these big ticket products. So this will basically, you know, drive the meaningful growth, which will lead us to that billion exit.
Understood. And second one on Lanreotide. So, sir, any further development you would like to highlight with the same partner or on the site transfer process? Where are we right now?
Yeah, so we are following a two-pronged approach as we speak. One is Pharmathen has, you know, worked on a lot of remediation at their end as required by the US FDA. So, you know, going back to the FDA at some point and asking them to allow resumption of Lanreotide to the US is one path. The other path is enabling, you know, another site through tech transfer, which is also happening as we speak, right? And we're choosing a site in the US to reduce the number of variables. So both are running in parallel. I think timing is a little bit fluid because both have dependence on the regulatory approval. So I think as we get more certainty on this, we will guide towards it. But at this point, we're not including that as part of our Q4 projections.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Charul Agarwal with BofA Securities. Please go ahead. Charul, you may please proceed ahead with the question. There's no response from Charul. We'll move forward to the next participant. Next question comes from the line of Malik with 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Just one question. So for as compared to 4Q, our other expenses have broadly come down. So what is the reason for this cost control? Can you highlight something?
So it's broadly, if you see, in line with sales growth. So, you know, there is, of course, we are taking measures to control costs as well, and it's basically a result of some of those initiatives that we are doing.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Forum Parik with Bank of Baroda Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on EBITDA margin. Since we are retaining the EBITDA margin around 20%, so just wanted to, and which is subject to these new launches, so just wanted to understand, hypothetically, if we get delayed by, you know, for these launches, so what can be the EBITDA margin without Lanreotide and new launches?
No, see, I think, see, our effort for the year is to focus on new launches, and with the approvals coming through, based on that, we have budgeted our internal estimates, this 18.5% to 20%. So it's based on a plan. Of course, if there is change in the plan due to any reason, then there can be risk to this margin guidance, including that of new launches, what you said.
Yeah, but is there a threshold level beyond which, you know, we cannot go? So if you can just guide us on the, you know, threshold level that we can look at?
No, I think, see, if you see sequentially, you know, between Q4 and Q1, you see some improvement over there. And the idea is, you know, for us to grow, all the rest of the base business is doing fine. And that growth also improves our overall profitability because expense base is more or less the same. And then over, you know, Q3 And towards the end of the year, with the winter season, you know, those are typically bigger quarters for us. So naturally, there will be some improvements. But we had factored in bigger improvement on account of the new products, right? Because that's how the, you know, the particularly the U.S. business that, you know, is highly dependent on new product launch. So we have blended it. I think it won't be kind of possible for us to put a floor. We are aiming for that ballpark, you know, and that bucket is where we are aiming for. And that's where we would expect to drive the business to.
Sure. And my second question is on the domestic side. So now our chronic portfolio has reached 60%. So again, here with the growth in Yurpeak, and how do we see, you know, scaling up of chronic segment? Again, you know, is there a level that we can quantify in next 2-3 years' time?
Yeah, so strategically, you know, we are growing respiratory. That's obviously one-third of our total business. So, and that has chronicity within itself. And then we are focusing a lot on diabetes, cardiology, urology, dermatology. I think these are the segments that we're specifically focusing on to drive that chronic percentage up. So in each of these, you are seeing in the last quarter market-beating growth. And, you know, as we continue that trajectory, we are gaining ranks as well. So it will increase as a percentage of our total business. Like if you see diabetes, we were ranked 30 plus 4 years back. But today we have a full portfolio from oral antidiabetics to the newest products which are launched and including the GLP. So, and insulin and, you know, inhaled insulins as well. So, we've looked at it strategically, so you would see that improvement over the, you know, the coming 2-3 years in terms of larger share coming from chronic.
Sure, but if we have to put in a number, can we work out with like 65% kind of as a first, you know, milestone to achieve for the chronic business within 2-3 years? Or that would be...
I think we are also strong in acute, and that's a base, a large base that sits out there, which will also keep growing, right? So it will not be, so the whole focus is that new growth that we are adding from new products, etc., will be oriented towards chronic, and we want to go there and create that momentum. But of course, you can't ignore the strong acute that is sitting out there.
Sure, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vivek Agrawal with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up question. So, if you look at EBITDA margin this quarter, right, it's around 16.7%, and the margins have fallen even below pre-Revlimid level, right? So given that company has a strong India business, 50% of the business come from India, the margin doesn't look great, right? So just want to understand where we are bleeding. Is it like that U.S. business has turned loss-making after we lost the Revlimid sales, or is it like that some of the other markets like India or any other market, that is where I think there's kind of a dip in margins in the last couple of years. I just want to understand and help you understand.
I think the best way to look at it is, first of all, this is not our steady state margin profile, right? So we should not be comparing it as a steady margin. The reason why it is low is multiple things, you know, which we've been talking about. One, a lot of the operating expenses to launch these new products are already been committed, right? So those are being incurred, whether it is manpower, facility, everything. And the products are, you know, are just coming through. They started to come through. So you will see a sharp improvement there. Secondly, as we had mentioned, you know, temporarily there is some impact of war as well, which is sitting in the numbers. Now, you know, it's hard to predict how long and this thing, but you know, maybe a 1 to 2% is what we are trying, what we are absorbing at this point in time. So I think with these kind of things, right, this is more a transit phase for Cipla. And our expectation is, you know, with the new products, with facilities getting utilized, with, you know, eventually the war situation will go away. And we are also working on a lot of cost optimization and productivity initiatives at our end. We will see a gradual improvement in the margins in the coming quarters, right? So sequentially, you know, that's what we will try.
Understood. And when you talk about that launch related spend side, so it's like products like Yurpeak, that's where you have spent significant amount of money, or it's like even in the US, you are building up for launch related spend for some of the major products that you're talking about?
No, it is not the, so most of the margin, you know, is on account of the US product and launches, because we have facilities, you know, which are there, which are staffed up, taking batches, you know, ready to launch products, but the revenue you're not seeing yet, right, because of the approval. Even on R&D, if you see, you know, we have slightly increased the investments, right? So we're looking at this in a way that we can build sustainable growth in the business and a profitable growth in the business. You know, right now the what you saw last quarter and this quarter is not our steady state. Is the point that you know we're trying to make.
Understood. Just lastly, if I try to look at, let's say, 22-23% kind of EBITDA margin, so when you can reach at that level, maybe is it 28 or 29, what would be the right time frame?
I think right now we would refrain from providing a guidance for next year, but I think direction for us is as we recognize that the current margin level is below our steady state, so we will improve it, and we've already mentioned 18.5 to 20 as the guidance for this year. So you can expect improvements in the coming quarters.
Perfect. Thanks. Better luck.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Diksha Maheshwari, Head Investor Relations. Thank for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Diksha.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in. And if you have any further questions, please write it to investor.relations@cipla.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cipla Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.